Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio as the Canucks get ready for the Toronto Maple Leafs. The main event on Hockey Night in Canada here in the Lower Mainland this weekend. In the Kintec studio, Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. I got a coffee before the show, and it was one of those things. I was like, I could really go for a coffee right now, and I was thinking maybe I'll just get one of the ones in the atrium. They're not the best, but it's free coffee. And I did the check of the Starbucks app, and I was like, oh, I got a free drink, best day ever. And so I got my free drink.
You got a free Starbucks drink?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's not like yesterday when I had $1.25 in my pocket, so I went to McDonald's and got a coffee. And I'm like, well, it's free. I just paid with cash, you know.
Who carries cash? $1.25 may as well have been free.
It's like, I paid cash. It's basically free. I don't think that's how it works, but it feels that way. Why does it feel that way? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, it's funny, if you like find a loonie or a toonie, you don't get excited. You're like, oh, is this like a novelty item now? Or
should I keep this? Is this like worth more than it used to be?
Maybe in 10 years it might be worth more.
Anyways, so I'm sproful right now. And
sproful?
Yeah.
Is that like being hopeful?
Yes. The Canucks are back in the playoffs, and I am sproful as we get ready and get into the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Mark! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And truthfully, the latest is that Mark Friedman is no longer a Vancouver Canuck, traded for future considerations to the Nashville Predators. We will talk about that in the Canuck Central roundup in just a little bit. But the bigger news over the last 24 hours is the Canucks are back into a playoff spot. And once again, just 1 point back of the LA Kings for third spot in the Pacific Division, though the Kings do have 3 games in hand on Vancouver. But this feels like an interesting moment here, Sat, because not like, hey, we've talked about this forever. The pathway is still going to be there for the Vancouver Canucks to make the playoffs, because that's just the realities of the bubble teams in the Western Conference. But you see Calgary really off the pace last night against Colorado. Eric Francis at Sportsnet.ca writing and saying as much as we saw that, yeah, Calgary just does not look like a playoff team when you put them up against a real team like Colorado. So this feels like a moment where, hey, I know Vancouver still got their things going on, but you can build on this now that you're in a playoff spot and really try to carve your way into building an identity going into the postseason where you hope to make a little bit of noise.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all trying to figure out what is the ceiling of this Canucks team, right? And what are they really capable of doing? And we haven't seen them with Quinn Hughes. The 2 games we've seen so far with Filippito, Marcus Pedersen, and Drew O'Connor have been without Quinn, and they've won, 2 of those games. And, you know, they had the game in overtime that they lost, but they've looked a lot better as far as, their overall ability to move the puck, their zone entries. But how much of that is adrenaline from the new guys? How much of that is sustainable? So I think we're still very much in the fact-finding stage of this Canucks group, but given how they've played, given the players they have, and you look at the Calgary Flames, I'm not saying they will make the playoffs, but they should make the playoffs.
Yeah, they should. And hey, there's maybe some changes still to come ahead of the March 7th trade deadline, how big or how small. It's not guaranteed. Brock Besser's still here behind beyond March 7th. There's a lot of questions there, but I still think once you get Quinn Hughes back into the lineup, you've got the best player of any of those teams fighting for that spot. Certainly between the Canucks and the Flames, you've got the best player among those two teams. You should be able to get into a postseason spot. And where the Canucks are, trading that pick for Marcus Pedersen, signing him to a new deal, I think it's imperative that you do get into the postseason, given the assets you've spent to help this team out right now. But there is the obvious caveat here, and that is, okay, you went into San Jose. I know Quinn Hughes wasn't playing, but you needed Thatcher Demko to steal you a game against the worst team in the league. That's not exactly the best look for somebody with playoff aspirations.
It's not, right? At the end of the day, like, that's not what you want to see. At the same time, like, you know, we've seen the Sharks have some frisky games, and they're a team that has some speed. They play hard, and they lose a lot of games, but they've had a lot of games where they played well and have lost, and it does happen. And I'm okay with giving it some time to see how it all kind of comes together, right? And I thought the Canucks started last night's game really well, but then after that, I thought San Jose took over. And you're right, if it wasn't for Thatcher Demko, maybe we have a different discussion. But at the same time, like, they were, what, one mistake away or one bad luck moment away from shutting out the Sharks and winning 1-0, right? So it's like, it wasn't perfect, but you don't apologize for having your goaltender be the best player on the ice.
Yeah, you don't. And I guess that's the glass half full side of this thing.
They picked up points back. 6 out of 7. I'm trying to be positive.
I'm talking,
right?
About last night's game, Sat.
I know.
They weren't
just
good.
Saying.
You know, they got heavily outchanced by the worst team in the league. So with Quinn Hughes or not, that was just, it was not a great look for me, but the glass half full part of it is Thatcher Demko looks fantastic. And that's kind of what you've been waiting for, kind of something that needs to be part of the formula for this team to really have any sort of, you know, noise making ability come postseason time, right? You need Thatcher Demko, and him playing the way that he did in that game and obviously coming off the shutout against Colorado. I mean, you want to talk about Canucks ceiling. Well, the Canucks ceiling obviously involves Thatcher Demko playing at his best.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Demko's ability to steal games makes him the biggest X factor for this team moving forward, right? Especially given all the injuries that he's had. And, you know, the last 3 out of the last 4 starts have been very encouraging for Thatcher Demko. The Dallas game, you know, we talk about one goal perhaps, you know, allows 3 goals on 14 shots or 15 shots or whatever it was. But you can't really, you know, fault him on all 3. It's maybe the one on the breakaway that he could have done a better job, but then we're nitpicking a breakaway. But his game has really turned a corner, because we go back 2 weeks ago, Reach, he did not look like a guy capable of not only playing every day, but also being able to give you good performances. And it was a pretty big discrepancy between what Kevin Lankinen was bringing versus what Thatcher Demko has brought. And we were talking about, do you just have to lean on Lankinen for the time being, have him kind of be your number one goalie until Demko finds his game? And, you know, Lankinen got sick, all those things happened, that played a part into it. But the organization, and to give them credit for this and how the, you know, goalie guys and the coaching staff handled it, they never let Demko feel like he wasn't the guy, right? They kept throwing him starts, getting him back into the lineup again and giving him another start after a game. And as much as in the moment when things were going sideways, you're kind of like, man, you're perhaps sacrificing some points here for a guy that's not finding his game and maybe you should lay off a little bit. But going to Demko has led to him finding his game, it looks like, at least so far. And we'll talk to Woodley next week to see exactly where his game's at. Is it all perfect or not? But it's probably the most encouraging aspect of what we've seen from the Canucks of the players that are already here outside of the new additions.
My elementary analysis of goaltenders from a technical aspect, he looked explosive last night. Just how quick he is. And you're starting to see that come back. Right. And it's not something you see every day with every goalie. And it's certainly a contrast to Kevin Lankinen a little bit. Thatcher Demko is kind of in a tier of his own with that explosiveness, his ability to move as well as he does laterally. And that's been developing. It's certainly getting back closer to where we've seen Demko in the past. This is a huge development for this team that they are getting Demko into a really, really good spot. And, you know, you factor that in with, you know, some of the other good vibes going around the team. You get D. Petey still playing well. I mean, he's about as aggressive a shooter as there is on this team. There's maybe some players further up the lineup that can maybe take a page or two from D. Petey's book here and figure out how to take a shot when it's there and available for you. But we'll get to that in just a moment. And I just love the way that Marcus Pettersson has played as well. Just such a calm defender. I mean, they really do feel like they've figured a couple of things out to the point where I can see how this could work really well once you parachute Quinn Hughes back into this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you put Quinn back in, we can start talking about whom should be playing with whom and what the pairs should be looking like. But however you slice it, you have Marcus Pettersson on the second pair. And based on how he's played, you know, in the few games that he's had with the Canucks, he's been fantastic defensively. You see the reach, you see the poise. I think the thing I like the best out of Pettersson's game last night, Marcus, that is, we have to really make clear which Pettersson we're talking about, because Pettersson was good, Pettersson was okay, and Pettersson stunk. That's kind of what, you know, how we talk about the three Pettersons last night. But Marcus Pettersson was very solid, right?
The three Pettersson.
But he was terrific, and I love how poised he is with the puck. There's one play where he had two forecheckers coming at him, and he was kind of stationary with how he had the puck. And he just waits a beat, pulls the puck back, and then makes a nice little play off the wall, out to zone. Now, that play ended up not working out because the puck bounced over Besser's stick. But how many times do we see a Canuck defenseman underdressed like that, and they end up coughing the puck up, throwing it away, or try to skate into trouble and just don't know what to do? And he's just so cool and calm under pressure, and alleviating those moments where the Canucks are just kind of running around in their own zone and not having defensemen that are panicking, I think just settles the entire club down, right, and the entire team down. And his presence has been really solid so far. I hope he can keep that going. The defense is going to be the key for this team, right?
Yeah.
Whether DPD figures it out or not, when Quinn comes back, that should be the strength of your squad. Even if DPD is not ready to handle it every day, I think you feel okay as long as Soucy is here, that you have Soucy and Forbert being your third pair potentially. Like, that's more than fine for your third pair. And we start comparing their top three defensemen to other teams' top three defensemen, like, the Canucks all of a sudden are ranked pretty high in the league. You know, like, there are teams that are better 1 through 6, but 1, 2, 3, like, you're pretty, like, you're in the top 10 in the league all of a sudden, right? Because your third guy is a legitimate defenseman. This is something you couldn't say prior to that trade.
Yeah, and it was something that they desperately needed. And I know you had to move out JT Miller in order to get that player. It's a little bit of robbing Peter to pay Paul, but you had one problem with your lineup that was not going away, and you found a way to turn it into a positive here, at least as best you could, given the circumstance around JT Miller. And Marcus Pettersson has had a really strong start, obviously signing a 6-year deal on top of that. You can go through the lineup as well. I mean, Hedl has the turnover at the end that leads to the tying goal, but Rick Tocchet goes right back to him in overtime. Yeah. Him and O'Connor, which, you know, in the moment I felt like it was, hey, is this a message sending, or is Tocchet legitimately just playing the best players he has available to him right now? And it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk to Yannick too. I want to get his thoughts on that whole play and what he thought about it. It's clearly, like, to me, it's kind of Canucky. Like, I know what he was trying to do. It ends up being a turnover. Maybe should have played it a bit differently. But, hey, he makes one mistake. It ends up in the back of his net. It was the first, like, real Canucky moment for him. It's like, hey, welcome to Vancouver. These things happen, right? So, but I love the fact that he didn't shy away from the moment afterwards. He looked like a player that wanted to redeem himself and wanted to make up for it. And, you know, he created a chance right away, and there was another chance going back the other way for San Jose that they didn't capitalize on. But he makes a terrific feed to Drew O'Connor, draws the penalty shot, and he ends up scoring on the penalty shot to win the hockey game. But you saw a player that, instead of shrinking in the moment, shrinking after a bad moment, he rose to the occasion and wanted to make up for it. And that's the type of mental makeup you want to see from players. And I hope that's the type of resilience he can continue to have, because those mistakes are going to happen. And based on how Hedl plays, and you see how aggressive he is, and I love that he does these things. I am a bit worried, though, at times that he might get blown up. He has his head down. Even last night, he made the play. He was recklessly going across the blue line. The Sharks player put his knee out, and you can't really blame Hedl for that. But because of how he plays with reckless abandon, he's going to put his body in bad positions, and he's also going to be doing things that lead to some mistakes and bad turnovers. But you have to be able to turn the page and move on like nothing happened. And if he can do that after mistakes, the future is going to be bright for him here.
It's a little bit of Brett Laurie in his game, I guess.
Yeah,
like rookie Brett Laurie.
Yeah. I mean, rookie Brett Laurie was like, had one of the best rookie seasons in MLB's history, and then fell off. But yeah,
but he was like, he played with reckless abandon. It's like, hey man, you don't have to dive into the TV camera booth every single for every fly ball, you know?
Yeah.
But yes. So maybe my deep reach of the day, but it's it has been positive with Filip Hedl. Now. Elephant in the room. I'm looking at the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. And
listen, we went 15 minutes. We gave good positive. I had a good 15 minutes of positive thoughts on the Canucks.
About,
we started off positive.
Yeah. loud Titans fan sat so positive. He'll find positive in EP40's game. Dave with a text. Do you see the Four Nations face-off as being a test for EP40 to possibly reset? You hope so. Neil from Surrey. Is PD a 100-point player? Does some of his production come from how Boudreaux coached the team? Look at Kuzmenko's production during the same time. Essentially, what I'm trying to get at, Sad, about 90% of the texts that have come in since the start of 4 o'clock have to do with OG Pettersson, Elias Pettersson, and where his game is at or where it isn't right now.
We don't know where it's at. It's like when you lose a package in shipping, you don't know where it's at. That's kind of where we are with Pettersson. It's like we're trying to use Find My Phone. Can we find Pettersson anywhere? Because I can't find him. Like, I mean, I'm out of, like, hey, I'm sorry, loud Titans fan. I don't have a positive take here on EP40, right? And, you know, I see what Dave mentioned and others mentioned. And we're totally at the grasping at straws stage of evaluating Pettersson. And we're like, well, what if he goes to the Four Nations? And what if he finds his game there? Can it translate? I hope so. But are we not just really grasping at straws at this stage?
Yes, we are. I mean,
Ruff was like, does he have the yips? I mean, that's where we're at, right? I mean, these are the things that people are wondering about.
I mean, if you had the yips, you'd still maybe get a chance or two in a game, you know, or you miss the net. I don't know. I mean, it's there's like nothing redeeming in his game last night. You know, like the old narrative sat, get right spot here for this guy. You know, you got the worst team in the league. You can maybe get some confidence in you with a good game and have a few chances, maybe score a goal or two. Like, no, there's no such thing as a get right spot for Elias Pettersson right now. And I don't know when we're going to find him, if we're going to find the player that he was over a year ago now, or certainly in that 22-23 season where he had over 100 points. I'm done thinking that it's going to happen this year. I think it's like Jim Rutherford said, Pettersson realizes that he's got to work harder, essentially alluding to the off season. And he's going to need an off season to get into a better spot to be at a better level than where he's at right now, build back some of his explosiveness that's not there right now. Because I don't know. It's not there. He's devoid of confidence. He's passing up shots. Like it was a really tough watch last night for Elias Pettersson.
It was. And instead of us seeing signs, and we did see signs, right? Like at times where, and again, like I'm totally
aware.
The third
period that against Detroit. I'm going to hang on to that for dear life right now.
But it's not even that. It's like even prior to that, there was some, like the Leafs game, you know, the whole Selke game was so good defensively. Does this give him confidence? Does he find his game? Like, how many times have we talked about it? It looks like his game is coming around. He just needs a couple bounces, right? Maybe the goal gets him going. But like, none of it does anything, you know? So like, I'm done. I'm done predicting what's going to happen. And I don't know what's going to happen. And if I'm betting on his game this year, like, I don't see the turnaround around the corner. You know, and to your point, he does need an off season, but that creates other questions, right? Like you waited one off season. It didn't work. Now you're going to wait another off season.
Yeah.
And I have time for waiting it out and having resolve because we've gone through this. I don't want to repeat all our takes about how hard it is to trade Pettersson and how hard it is to replace him. But from an organizational standpoint, are they okay with waiting and giving it one more go and seeing if one more off season works when the last one didn't work out? And it doesn't matter if he was hurt or not. It doesn't matter what the reasons were. There has created a lack of faith, not only with the fan base and clearly organizationally.
Yeah.
And I do think at some point here, whether it's next season or after, Pettersson is going to score again. He's going to be a good player in the NHL. I just don't know if he's going to be in Vancouver.
The other wonder that I do have is, you know, okay, you're 5-1-1 in your last seven games. You're back into a playoff spot. All good things are happening around the team. Does the constant negativity around one player change some of that? Is there going to be a dark cloud hanging over this team as long as this is going on with Elias Pettersson? And does that once again affect what happens behind closed doors in that locker room? That's, you know, a question I can't really answer, especially not right now, but you hope that it doesn't is what I would say. But I do feel there are some that do have Pettersson fatigue. I know we have fatigue talking about it because This is, I mean, I saw one of the best players in the league lighten it up on a regular basis. I had more confidence in Elias Pettersson than almost anything, that he would be a dominant player in the league for years to come, and we just haven't seen it for a very long time now, and I'm just wondering where that guy has gone. Quickly on the Canucks Central roundup before we get to Yannick Hansen. Canucks off today, but didn't stop Patrick Alvin from getting a little busy as he traded Mark Friedman to Nashville for cash considerations. I don't know if there's a ton here, but there's always something to read into with this move, Sat.
Yeah, he was freed, man. Sorry, that was my bad joke.
I definitely had a bit of a fake laugh right afterwards.
That wasn't very good. That wasn't very good.
Kind of took me a minute, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Josh's like, wait, what happened?
Freed from Abbotsford.
Now he gets to go to the NHL.
Hold on. What did you just say?
Abbotsford. Okay.
Abbotsford.
Yeah, Abbotsford.
It's not Magnuson Ford. It's Abbotsford.
I'm going to start saying Toronto.
Toronto. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you say the T, if you say hard T on Toronto, then people know you're not from Toronto.
Yes, it's Toronto.
I'm just looking out for your future. That's okay. I want to call you out right now, and now moving forward, you'll be okay.
Abbotsford.
Make it an E instead of an
okay.
O.
Yeah. I think the Friedman thing, the best. He was traded for future considerations, which is nothing, right? Like there's nothing coming back for Vancouver. All they're doing is trading him to a place where he can go and play hockey, right? And instead of putting him on waivers and a team having to claim him and maybe he goes to a spot, it looks like they're doing him a bit of a solid here to give him a chance to play.
Yeah.
And I think the most important thing as well is to clear the contract spot up. Because once you clear that contract spot up, the Canucks now have 4 contract slots open, 46 out of 50. Which gives them options. One is going to go to Tom Elander, so take one away. That means you have 3 left. Now, whether you're in the college free agent market, it gives you a chance to sign 1 or 2 players. And also, if you're looking to make a trade for one player straight up without giving a player up, you can now do so. So the Canucks roster flexibility-wise, they have a bit more of it because every other trade they've made so far, outside of Daniel Sprong one, of course, but you saw the ones, you know, the Hedl for... Miller trade, there was also Mancini and Brännström in it, so you were contract neutral. The Pittsburgh trade, same thing, Heinen and Desharnais, for Marcus Patterson and Drew O'Connor, contract neutral, and now you shedded a contract, and I think that's a small move, but it could mean bigger things as time goes on.
So Mark Friedman, now a Nashville Predator. Now, quickly, Nick Kiprios had his latest trade board out at sportsnet.ca, and the title has setting up for a memorable trade deadline, which could be a lot of fun. A lot of Buffalonians on this one. Dylan Cousins, Bowen Byram, Matthias Samuelson are all on the list. Brock Besser is listed here, and Kipper believes that it's still more likely than not that Besser gets traded out of Vancouver. And he also has a quartet of St. Louis Blues. Braden Schenn, Justin Falk, Jordan Kyrou, whom I'm a big fan of, and Pavel Buchnevich as names, as maybe Doug Armstrong could get frisky once the Four Nations is complete and try to change up his roster that is falling like a brick in the standings right now.
I mean, listen, the Canucks signed JT Miller and traded him in year 2 of his contract extension.
Yeah.
But if Pavel Buchnevich gets traded, he's going to get traded before his contract extension even kicks in.
Yeah.
You know?
That's rough.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. And he's had a bit of a tough year. I mean, everybody in St. Louis has had a tough year. And I know there are a few people asking us here about Jordan Kyrou as well. And maybe we'll get to it a bit more in the mailbag. But the thing with Kyrou is he's fast. He's got a lot of skill. But is he the type of player that this organization wants to take a flyer on? Because a lot of detail problems with him. Craig Berube had a lot of problems with him. And guess who the head coach is in Vancouver? It's Rick Tocchet. And guess who's best friends with Rick, or really good friends with Rick Tocchet, along with like 75% of the NHL, is Greg Berube. Craig Berube and Tocchet are close. Is that going to be a proper fit as far as the player you go after? Because stylistically, as far as his speed, his versatility, and what he can bring, his youth, there's a lot to like about Kyrou, but I just wonder if some teams are just like, we're just not sure he's a guy we can win with.
And, I mean, speed is something that they have targeted, obviously, in the Hedl and O'Connor acquisitions. Speed, we talked to Patrick Alvin yesterday, speed has been a big theme for them, and Kyrou does bring some of that, but yes, does not come without his warts, because, you know, obviously he wouldn't be available if that were the case. Still just 26 years old, but comes with a cap hit of $8.125 million through 2030-2031. All right, Yannick Hansen is going to join us coming up next. His take on where the Canucks are, the new acquisitions, and yes, Elias Pettersson. It's coming up next on Canuck Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.